This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, this week on Cross Hope, we begin with an illustration by a favorite author of mine over the years, Dr. Paul Persall, who died a number of years ago. I understand in doing some research on him, there's some controversy about his career. There's some controversy about his writing. So I'm aware of that. For those of you that know that and say, well, Randy, did you know this or know that? I do. I'm still going to quote him as a part of the sermon today from 1 Corinthians. God bless you as you listen to this message on the spiritual family. He made a great statement. He said, avoid any book, psychology book, or sermon with a number in the title. And I thought, that's interesting. What does he mean by that? And he meant this, avoid a book or a sermon that says 3 ways to be happy, 6 ways to have a better marriage, 5 ways to be successful financially. And his comment was this, life isn't that simple. Life isn't that simple. But he had some great things to say. He made fun of a lot of the self-help books by writing this book. This is an actual book title of a book he wrote, The Last Self-Help Book You Will Ever Need, Repress Your Anger, Think Negatively, Be a Good Blamer, and Throttle Your Inner Child. I love that title. It was a great book. Repress Your Anger, Think Negatively, Be a Good Blamer, and Throttle Your Inner Child. Dr. Persall would write a book called The Power of the Family, and that's the book that probably blessed me the most, The Power of the Family. And he says this, families have not failed, but we have failed the family. Would you listen to that again? The family hasn't failed. We've just failed the family as individuals. You have, and so have I. We all have failed the family. And he said some things about family I've never heard anyone say before. He said, we're becoming more and more isolated in our culture and isolated from family. We walk alone. We drive alone. We exercise alone. We work alone. We sleep alone. We pray alone. And he said, too often we die alone. We die alone. He said, the family system is a strength, yet we ignore it. We've taught people growing up that families are temporary places for preparation for the real world. Isn't that interesting? We have taught people that the family is a temporary place for preparation for the real world instead of saying, this family is your family for the rest of your life. Like it or not, that's your family. And he made this comment about families that I want to share with you, that we have not learned family maintenance. We have not learned family maintenance. You say, why are you talking about family today in a series from 1 Corinthians? Simply this, the Apostle Paul, in the passage we study in the book of 1 Corinthians, gives some family lessons from a spiritual father, a spiritual parent. Paul had a father-child relationship with the church at Corinth. Why? He founded the church. He spent a year and a half of his life there, winning people to Christ and building this church, and he loved these people. And so, in a secondary way or a side way of looking at this scripture, he's talking to people he considers family, and I think there's some lessons for every man in this room. There are lessons for every woman in this room, every young person in this room, family lessons from a spiritual parent. It's in 1 Corinthians 4. We've been in this book for a number of weeks. We're in chapter 4, verse 14. Paul says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you, as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Well, we'll continue this message on the spiritual family tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today, part two of a message we began yesterday on Cross Hope from 1 Corinthians 4. About family lessons from a spiritual father. Did you know the Apostle Paul felt a parent-child relationship with the church at Corinth? He founded the church. He spent a year and a half of his life there, pouring his life into this body of believers. Do you have a relationship like that with anybody? A father, daughter, a father, son, a mother, daughter, mother, son relationship, or even a brother to brother, brother to sister, sister to brother relationship with somebody in the body of Christ? I hope you do. I hope you're pouring your life into somebody else. Let's continue with part two of this message we began yesterday. Over the years in the ministry, Annie and I have people in every church that we've served. That doesn't matter their age, they could be older than we are, but they look at us as their spiritual parents. It first happened when I was a youth minister in Florence, Kentucky. There was a young man who walked into the youth group one day, and I'm describing him exactly as I remember. He had hair down to his shoulders. He had bib overalls on over a t-shirt, and he was wearing a stovepipe hat, you know, something that Abraham Lincoln would wear. He came into the church, youth group, wearing that outfit. His name was Doug. Well, Doug kept coming. I ministered to him. I ended up baptizing Doug, baptizing him into Christ. He became an active part of the youth group. Now, Doug is Dr. Doug Spears. But what's interesting about Doug is this, is that Annie and I have this relationship with Doug like we're his spiritual parents. There were other people that impacted his life along the way. But Doug looks at us as spiritual mom and dad, along with other people over the years. Here's my question. Does anybody look at you like that? Does anybody look at you and say, you are the person that brought me to the cross? You're the person that introduced me to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. You don't even have to know all the books of the Bible in order. You just have to be a person who says, my life was changed by Jesus Christ, and I want to tell somebody else how that happens. That's all that has to happen. I want to bring up some lessons. I want to talk to you about, first of all, the lesson in verse 14. Could we bring up verse 14 again? I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. I don't know how you were raised, but some of you were raised in this way. Your parents may have treated you in such a way that they tried to shame bad behavior out of you. Guess what? It didn't work, did it? Nobody shames bad behavior out of anybody. Some of you were, perhaps the attempt was made to shame you into good behavior. Guilt has to do with what I do, and guilt is real and legitimate and biblical, but shame has to do with what we are. Dr. Mark Miller describes shame in this way. We could equate shame with being worthless, unlovable, unredeemable, or cut off from humanity. It may evoke painful feelings, rage at the one we feel shamed by, or terror that we will be abandoned or overwhelmed with despair. Sometimes he says shame is often unbearable. Humiliation and mortification, which are part of shame, may be so painful they can lead to suicide. I want you to listen to the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. It's this. The Holy Spirit of God will never shame you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you, but the Holy Spirit will never shame you into anything. Well, I don't know about you, but that's one of the most important things I've heard in a long time, that the Holy Spirit convicts, He comforts, but He will never shame. One dictionary defines shame as a feeling caused by a sense of unworthiness and impropriety. It's a feeling of disgrace and humiliation. The Lord's not into humiliating you or me. He's into forgiving through Christ. God bless you as you listen tomorrow.
I want you to listen to the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. It's this. The Holy Spirit of God will never shame you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. But the Holy Spirit will never shame you into anything. The Holy Spirit comforts and convicts. And Paul said, my job as a spiritual parent is not to shame you people. And you say, why do I need to know that? Because when we get into chapter 5 in a couple weeks, he talks about a gross, immoral thing that was going on at the church in Corinth that was such that not even pagan people did it. You can read about it in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And Paul wants to set that up. I'm not going to shame you over this, but I will speak a warning to you. That's the word that's used in verse 14. You know what the word warn means? It literally means to put in mind of someone something. To put in mind. A job of a parent is to put in a child's mind. Have you thought about the cost of this thing? Have you thought about the dangers of this situation? Did you know part of parenting is just being a person who puts in a child's mind thoughts they wouldn't normally think of? May I give you a powerful, humorous illustration of this? Annie and I have friends in Columbus whose grandson, when he graduated from high school, bought a used Greyhound bus. Now, listen to this. When I say used, I'm not talking about a bus that had 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it. It had over 1 million miles on it. And he and some of his buddies took this Greyhound bus and they converted it into an RV and told mom and dad, we're going to California in our Greyhound bus that we've rehabbed into an RV. And all the parents involved said, guys, do you think you might think about this thing might not make it? That you might need to consider the cost of the fuel. You might need to think about this or that. We're going. They left Columbus. They got as far as Richmond, Indiana. And it broke down, and that was the end of their trip. They got as far as Richmond, if my memory serves. Part of being a parent is just putting in mind those warning thoughts. That doesn't mean your children will respond. It doesn't mean that they will heed those things, but that's what it means to be a parent. Not to shame our children into anything, but to warn them as dear children. Let's bring up verse 15. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Verse 16. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. The next verse. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Not only are we to warn, but we're to love, to have a loving relationship with our children. And let me tell you what love means. Love means you're concerned about the long-range effects of anything your children do. You know, I only remember one thing from economics. When I studied economics in college and high school, I remember one quote by the economics professor when he said, the art of economics consists in looking not merely at the immediate, but at the longer effects of any act or policy. I've always remembered that. You know why? That's the art of life. The art of living in life is not looking at the immediate, but looking at the long-range effects of anything we do, any choice we make, any decision we opt for. What's the long-range effect? And part of being a parent is saying, look at the long range, and I love you long range. What's this going to mean for your life 10 years out, even 20 years out and beyond?
Well, this message is called Family Lessons from a Spiritual Father, from the Apostle Paul, from 1 Corinthians 4. The message continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org to listen to this message again, or any message you may have heard on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message entitled Family Lessons from a Spiritual Father from 1 Corinthians 4. We closed yesterday with a story about the word love and how love is to be lived out in everyday life. We continue with a humorous story that I think makes a powerful point. It's funny, but it makes its point. I want you to listen to it as we continue with part four of a message from 1 Corinthians 4, Family Lessons from a Spiritual Father. God bless you as you listen.
Let me give you another humorous illustration about loving people. I read about a child psychologist who was married but had no children. Now think about that. You're a child psychologist, but you don't have any children yourself. And so in the subdivision where he lived, during the summer when all the children of the subdivision would be out playing and parents would come out and maybe yell at their kids or discipline their children, this psychologist would make a beeline out there and he would say, now, sir, that's not the way you discipline your child. Ma'am, that's not the best way to relate to your daughter. And he was always correcting the parents about how they should love their children. And the parents really probably didn't appreciate it. Well, the day came when he was pouring a concrete driveway in his yard. And he was doing a lot of the work himself. The concrete trucks backed up and offloaded their concrete, and he was out there finishing the concrete, smoothing it over, when a four-year-old boy from next door walks over and stands in the concrete and looks at the psychologist with a look on his face that says, I dare you to do anything about this. He started yelling. He went berserk. He went ballistic, yelling at this child. And one of the parents came out of the house and said, I thought you told us we were to do this, this, and this, and you're supposed to be loving to the children. And here's what the psychologist said. I love them in theory, but not in concrete. I love them in... That's a bad joke. I love them in theory, but not in concrete. Let me tell you something. There's some truth to that, though. There's a lot of parents who love in theory, but not in concrete, in terms of practicality. There are a lot of husbands who say, I love my wife in theory, but they don't live it in concrete, in reality. There are a lot of wives who say, I just love my husband. I'm crazy about him, but I don't live it out in real life. Love is lived out in real life. And it's lived out over a period of months and years and decades because it's in Christ. So Paul said, I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to love you. And then the fourth thing he said he's going to do is in the last verse, if we could bring up verse 17 again. For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Personal question here. As a parent, could you tell your children to follow your example? I'm not talking about perfection. I don't mean that. But could you tell your children, generally speaking, you can follow my example as your father or as your mother? Because what I do agrees with what I teach. What I do on Monday through Friday at work agrees with what I teach. I'm not two different people. I'm not living double lives. I'm not living one thing at work and I'm another person when I'm home with you. What I teach is how I live. That's the goal for every parent, for every family member.
Well, my guess is this message is speaking to someone. There's someone listening today, right in your car, right in your home, wherever you may be, saying, this is something we need to hear as a family. This is something I need to hear as a father or mother, as a son or daughter, as a brother or sister. Our website is crosshope.org. It concludes tomorrow. That's crosshope.org. God bless.
...1988 was the year. It was April. Aloha Airlines was the airline. There was a flight that was doing the island hopping. It was leaving the Hilo Airport, I think, on the Big Island of Hawaii, and going back to Oahu. Just a typical flight. Everything had four or five flights that day. And I'm going to read from the NTSB accident report that tells you what happens. No unusual occurrences were noted by either crew member during the departure and climb out as the airplane leveled at 24,000 feet. Both pilots heard a loud clap or whooshing sound followed by a wind noise behind them. The captain observed that the cockpit entry door was missing and that there was blue sky where the first class ceiling had been. The captain immediately took control over the airplane. He described the airplane attitude as rolling slightly left and right, and that the flight controls felt loose. Dr. Paul Persall, the psychologist I mentioned at the beginning of the message, said one of his patients was on that flight. So Dr. Persall said, what did you experience? What can you tell me about the flight? And this woman said that as soon as it happened, she said, I started singing from the top of my lungs, hymns. No, she said, nobody could hear me because of all the air and the noise. She said, but I started singing hymns. And then she said something that I was really touched by. She said, I never spoke to the guy at all that was sitting next to me. When I got on the plane, I sat down, I had my magazine. I didn't speak to him, didn't say a word to him. She had a window seat. She said, I took out my left hand and I took his hand. And then I noticed that he took his left hand and reached across the aisle and he took a hand. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the plane were joining hands. And Dr. Persall said what was going on in that flight was people were refamilifying. I'd never heard that term before or since. They were refamilifying. And Paul Persall said this, they thought if we're going to die and we may die, this plane may go into the ocean, we're going to die as a family. We're going to die together. And he said it was a powerful lesson to him about family. Now there's one other lesson that come out of this. This is what's remarkable to me. The most remarkable detail of this accident report is this, the last paragraph. After the accident, a passenger stated that as she was boarding the airplane through the jet bridge at Hilo, she observed a longitudinal fuselage crack. The crack was in the upper row of rivets along the S10L lap joint about halfway between the cabin door and the edge of the jet bridge hood. She made no mention of the observation to airline ground personnel or the flight crew. She saw this crack and never said a word. And here's the thought I want to leave you with. What would have happened if one person who noticed something would have said something? What a difference could have made. And the thought occurred to me, what would have happened in your life differently if somebody had said the right word to you? Maybe nothing, but maybe something. What difference could have you made in the life of a child if you would have just said something at the right time? What difference could have you made in the life of a brother or sister or a parent, anybody, by just saying the right word, of putting in mind the right word, not shaming them, not mortifying them, humiliating them, but warning them, just as the Holy Spirit's job is to convict and to comfort, not to humiliate and not to shame. The message today, family lessons from a spiritual parent. What are they? We're not to shame people, but we are to warn them, to convict them, help convict them of what's wrong. We're to love people, love them with a long-term love that goes out beyond today. We're loving them long-term in 10, 20, 30 years out. And we're also to live a life in such a way that you can tell people, imitate my life. I'm not perfect, but follow me.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.